Praise the Lord Jesus. This is Thurman Scrivener with the Living Savior Ministries again today. I want to just praise the King. Heavenly Father, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I worship you, Lord, and I praise you, and I thank you for this beautiful, glorious, magnificent, wonderful day that you have made. I give you all the praise and the glory and the honor for this beautiful day. You're our King, our Lord, our God, our healer, our deliverer, our provider, our everything. You are our Savior, our God, our Lord, our healer. And I praise you and thank you, Father, that you are the King of kings and Lord of lords and God of gods. And oh, how I worship you and praise you and thank you for this day. As the word goes out today, Lord, reveal it to us that we might be able to understand who we are and what we can do as sons and daughters of the King of the universe. And I give you all the praise and the glory and the honor as the word goes out today. In the mighty name of Jesus, praise you, Father. This week I'm talking about the promises of God and how they work. And I don't think we understand that the promises of God are yes and amen every time, because it doesn't seem like there's any power in the church hardly at all today. Too many people are sick and afflicted. Too many people have needs. And yet the Bible that I carry in my hand, which is called the King James, but I read many translations of the Word of God, but I always check everything out against the Hebrew and the Greek. It's wonderful to have the Word of God on a computer today where you can have all the Hebrew and Greek right in there with it, where you can read it all together. Things that used to take me hours to look up and to find all these things, I can now find them in one punch of a button, just with a click of a mouse. It is so awesome what you can do. But I'm going to read a scripture to you here in Matthew 17. Now, I'm going to tell you that most of us today in the church, if somebody does not get healed or do not get delivered when we pray for them, we always say it's God's fault. Well, it's not God's will to heal this person, or it's not God's will to deliver this person. Well, I'm going to tell you that's not true. It's God's will to heal you every time. There's never a case in this Bible that Jesus didn't heal all that came to him except one place. And in Mark chapter 6, Jesus was coming there into his own hometown, and he began to teach them the word, and there they took offense at him. And they said, "Is this not Joseph's son? Is this not Mary's son? Are these not his brothers and sisters?" And there they took offense at him, and because of their unbelief, there he, Jesus, could do no mighty works because of their unbelief. And he marveled at their unbelief. He absolutely marveled at their unbelief. Now then, there Jesus could do no mighty works except lay his hands on a few sick folks and heal them. There's great power in the laying on of hands. But I'm telling you, the church today does not realize the power in this book. I'm going to show you here in Matthew 17. I want to show you something starting in verse 14, what happened here. And it says, "When they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man, kneeling down to him and saying, 'Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed. For oftentimes he falleth into the fire and often into the water. And I brought him to your disciples, and they could not cure him.'" Then listen what Jesus' answer was to these men that could not heal him. Now the reason he said what he did is because I'm going to quote to you, or actually I'm going to read to you, Matthew chapter 10, verse 1. Now I want you to hear as I read Matthew chapter 10, verse 1, I want you to hear what Jesus had done for his disciples just a few scriptures back. In Matthew 10:1, "And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease." Boy, isn't that an awesome promise? The Lord did that. And then in verse 7, it says, "And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of God is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. Now, he had empowered his men with this kind of power. Isn't this awesome what he had done? So, in Matthew chapter 17, whenever they could not heal this boy, as the man said, in verse 17, then it says, "And Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you or put up with you? Bring him hither to me." Now, isn't that amazing? I'm going to tell you, Jesus was not too nice to his disciples. I wonder what he would think about us today. In the church, anytime we pray for somebody and they do not get healed, these disciples here, they could not get this boy healed. And since they could not cure him, Jesus clearly said, "Oh, you faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me." Isn't that an awesome statement? And look what happened in verse 18. "And Jesus rebuked the devil," or the demon, "and the demon departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour." Now, what was the boy's problem? The boy had a demon. What? A demon? People don't think a Christian can have a demon today. I'm going to tell you that's as far from the truth as anything I ever heard. Of course you can have demons. I've cast out more demons out of Christians than any other kind of people. Christians have demons living in their physical body and in their soulish realm. Those demons come in to kill, steal, and to destroy. And the only way you can get rid of them is after your sins are confessed, you can drive them out with a word, and you can get free from demons. But demons are what's causing most of the problems today. But we're not smart enough today to even understand that. But after Jesus rebuked the devil, or the demon, or the enemy, the demon departed out of him, and therefore the child was cured from that very hour. What do you have to do to get the boy healed? Cast out the demon. When you got a person that's doing these same things, that's what you're going to have to do. Cast out the demon. And then look what he said. "And Jesus said unto him," in other words, first of all, after Jesus rebuked the devil and he departed out of him and the boy was cured, then the disciples came to Jesus and they got him off to the side and they said, "Why could not we cast him out?" Look at Jesus' answer. "And Jesus said unto them, Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, Remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you." Is that an awesome promise from our King? Let me read that again. First of all, Jesus said, you couldn't cast the demon out because of your unbelief. Because of your unbelief. So what do you think the problem is in the church today? It's unbelief. We do not believe God's word. Because he says, in that part of the second part there of verse 20, if you have faith. Now see, that's the requirement of the church. If we have faith, the God kind of faith, if we have faith as a grain of mustard seed. Now, not the size of a mustard seed, but as a grain of mustard seed. Now, what he's talking about there, since Romans 10:17 says faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God, as you begin to study God's word, as you study it, and you read it out loud. Now, you don't ever read the word of God silently. You read it out loud because Romans 10:17 says faith comes by hearing God's word, not by reading God's word. So since faith comes by hearing God's word, anytime you sit down with these promises, you always read them out loud. Read them out loud over and over and over. As you read them out loud, they will bring forth great and mighty results. Because what will happen, your faith will be like that tiny little mustard seed at first, and it will begin to grow. Now, as it grows and grows, what happened to that tiny little mustard seed when you planted it in the garden? It's a tiny, tiny little seed, but it begins to grow, and it grows to be a great big, actually a small tree, actually, which is a pretty good sized one. And it will grow up. It's even big enough for the birds to come and lodge in. I'm telling you, it grows up. Now, that's what's going to happen to your faith. If you start out with your faith as a grain of mustard seed, and you will continue to read God's Word and believe God's Word, then your faith will grow to a humongous size, and you will be able to do exactly what the Lord says here. As your faith develops, you shall say unto the mountain. What will you do to the mountain or the problem? You will say unto it. And when you say unto your mountain, your cancer, your garter, your tumor, your headache, your lung cancer, your arthritis, whatever it is, when you get to where you can believe God's word with no doubt in your heart, he said, you shall say unto this mountain or your problem, remove hence to yonder place. In other words, get out of me, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Nothing shall be impossible unto you. That is an awesome promise from our King. I'm going to tell you that most Christians are just like I was for the majority of my life. I did not believe this book, but I am beginning to believe if God said it, I can do it. Because he told me to speak to my mountain, command it to be removed from here to yonder, and it shall be removed. And then he goes on and finishes that statement and says, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. So why do we go around as Christians saying, I can't do this, I can't do this? Because we don't know or don't believe this mighty book. He says that you can do it, and nothing will be impossible to you. And then he made a statement, verse 21. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. What is he talking about? What was the question asked? And the men asked him, why could we not cast out this demon spirit? And his answer was, because of your unbelief. So what is the problem? Their unbelief. So if their unbelief is the problem, and he says this kind, you might say this kind of unbelief does not go out but by prayer and fasting. He's not talking about the demon here. I thought for years that's what he was talking about, the demon. But he is not. He's talking about the unbelief. So if you're not spending time with God in prayer and fasting, you will never be able to do these things and get rid of your unbelief. I would like to invite you to call me for these teachings at the Living Savior Ministries, 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. Or you can get us on the web at tlsm.org. We'd like to invite you to our church every Sunday afternoon at 10921 Shady Trail in North Dallas. Starts at 2 p.m. until 4 p.m. every Sunday afternoon. That's the Living Savior Church at 10921 Shady Trail in North Dallas. And we start at 2 p.m. Praise the Lord Jesus.